You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 25. Now, great multitudes went with him, the him being Jesus. And he turned and said to them, he's speaking again to a great multitude. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Notice again, Jesus says to them, them being a great multitude of people, according to verse 25, we're going to read it again. Starting at verse 26, he's talking to a great number of people. And this is what he has to say to a crowd of folk. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Jesus, being a priest, a teacher, a rabbi, was not like normal rabbis, priests, and teachers. He was unusual for his time, and he's quite unusual even for our time, because there are many preachers, priests, rabbis, and teachers that once they gain a crowd, they are willing to say and do anything to keep the crowd. Come on, y'all know there are preachers in our day and time that their primary focus, their primary agenda when they are teaching and ministering is doing whatever it takes to keep the crowd. Come on, I'm already teaching a lot of folk, because that's what they're into. They're into the crowd. And what is it going to take not only to keep this crowd, but what in the world can I do to cause the crowd to get even larger? This is the reason a lot of pastors, bishops, and church leaders attend conferences wanting to know how to make the church grow. How can we get bigger? How can we bust out of the walls of the space that we currently occupy? Is it something that I can do that will make even a greater crowd come to listen to me or to hear what it is that I have to say? And see, again, understand, there are preachers that their primary agenda is to get a crowd. Now listen, is anything wrong with a crowd? No. Nothing wrong with a crowd. We see in the text that Jesus has a great multitude of people following him. Now, if he was ordinary, he would again be trying to say something to keep this crowd. I don't want to lose the multitude that's following me. But he doesn't do that. He actually does something, if you will, that is seemingly the reverse. He's talking to people as if he doesn't really care if you come or you go. He's even talking to them to the point to where he wants them to clearly understand that if you're going to be my disciple, this ain't going to be no easy road. See, most of the time, if you want to keep people following you, then make it as easy as you possibly can. Keep them as comfortable as you can. But he doesn't do that. He starts saying things that in one sense, this can be difficult to receive. We following you, but the things that you're saying to some could possibly be scary. He starts telling them, look, if you can't do this, you can't be my disciple. If you don't want to make people secondary in your life, you can't be my disciple. Look how y'all look. If you don't want to take up your cross, if you don't want to suffer, you can't be my disciple. So those of you that don't want to go through nothing, you might well go on. Those of you that want to put your family before me, you go on. Ooh, I wish y'all could see the looks that I'm getting. He said, I don't even want you wondering if you can make the cut. You can't make the cut. Look what he said. You cannot be my disciple. You can't do it. It's impossible. But for those of you who think you may want to stay, after hearing such a tough word, then I just want you to do one thing in reference to being my disciple. I just want you to count the cost. Tell your neighbor, based upon all of that, the subject this morning, count the cost. Ooh, look at somebody and tell him or her, when it comes to following Jesus, you have to count, finish it. Look at one more person, tell them, say, when it comes to you doing what Jesus has assigned for you to do, you must count, you finish it. Now tap yourself and say, I got to count the cost. Let's give him a praise for the subject. Come on. I got to count. I got to count the cost. Whenever you are in a relationship with somebody or something, or you're connected with something, or you're in a relationship with somebody, whom you say you love, your love is going to be exemplified through your commitment. Your love is going to be exemplified through your commitment. It's easy to say with your mouth that you love a person. But it's going to be more difficult than just saying it when it comes to showing a proven commitment. Many of us have told people that we love them, when in actuality, we was really not committed to them. We just wanted what we wanted from them. And so if we had to use the word, I love you, to get what we wanted, then so be it. I'll tell you that I love you. But I really don't, because I'm not committed to you. Y'all are quiet this morning. Because some of us have been guilty. Some of us have used the word, I love you, so loosely that we didn't even recognize that, hey, you got to back up your talk. And it has to be backed up by your commitment. Jesus told a group of folk one time, he said, look, these people. And he was looking at the people when he said it. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. What was he saying? They love me with their tongue, but with their deeds and actions, they deny me. Can I break it down? In other words, they say to me that they love me, but when I ask them to do something, there's no commitment to prove that they truly love me. Oh, y'all might as well come on here. Because in any covenant relationship, in any connection, the key of the evidence of the proof of love is commitment. Oh, come on, somebody. Anybody can get married, but who can stay married? Who can be committed? Oh, come on, Pastor, in the good times as well as the bad times. Who can stay committed when money flowing? But who can be committed when money starts drying? We can love when the other one is well, but who can love through sickness? Who can love through the ups and downs? Who can be committed no matter how tough the road may get? Come on, somebody. Because how many know there are times when you're in a relationship with a person that your commitment will be tried or tested? Come on, I don't know what it is, but something is going to try your love. Something is going to try how much you claim that you love this person. Yeah, something is going to try. Every day won't be a honeymoon. Every day will not be a bed of ease. Something is showing up to try your commitment. I wish I could get some married folk that's been married over 10 years and no marriage ain't no joke to give God a praise, because you know your commitment is going to be tested. What you gonna do when you get mad at? What you gonna do on the days when just looking at them does not give you goosebumps? But see, it's bigger than a person. Your commitment to your job will be tested. And we're going to get the bonus. Not this year. Uh-oh. Test time. We've been on overtime, but now we're going short time. Uh-oh, test time. And in a relationship, understand that there are times that a person cannot just be committed, but their commitment has to go to a greater level, or you have to increase your commitment. Wasn't anybody ever been there where you was in love with something? You was in love with somebody. But you drove into a season where your commitment needed to increase. See, the people in the text, they are already following Jesus. They're already showing a sign that we want to be your disciple. We want to be with you. We want to go wherever you go. That's the reason we following you. But see, even Jesus knows that, yeah, you can follow for a season. But will you keep following when what I demand of you increases? Will you stay committed? Watch me when I need more out of you. Will you remain loyal when I ask more of you? When I demand something from you that's valuable to you, will you give it to me anyhow? Because again, when you love somebody, you exemplify it through your commitment. Very important. In Genesis 29, there's a story about a man named Jacob. Jacob is a trickster. He's a con artist. And he wanted his brother's blessings so bad that he got together with his scheming mama, a woman by the name of Rebecca. And they devised a plan to fool Isaac, Jacob's father and Rebekah's husband. Because the blessing was seemingly to go to Esau. But Jacob had to pray. He had to release the blessing. And Esau was a hairy man. Y'all listen to me. Isaac had to release the blessing. And with Esau being the oldest child, by right it was supposed to be his. But Rebecca, with her shady self. Come on, I got to teach it right this morning. I got to take my time this morning. She favored Jacob over Esau. See, parents, you got to be careful when you favor one over the other. And there's no legit reason to do so. This just the one that you like. But the other one you birth also. But they don't do it for you. God, I'm talking right up in here. And so when it came time for Jacob to supplant, to steal, he told his mama, he said, I ain't going to be able to fool daddy because Esau is hairy and I'm not a hairy man. But just like a low down woman, she always has a plan. Oh, come on, women. Don't act like you ain't ever been low down, and I'll keep it moving. But if you pretend that you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll rest right there. I'll build a house right there on you. She said, don't worry about that boy. Leave that up to me. And she took something and put it upon him so that when his daddy touched him, he would feel the hair. Because Isaac at the time was going about blind. But see, I come to tell you, in everything that happened, God got his hands in it. Even when it looked like it ain't going right, God got a plan for your life. He got a plan for what he's doing. And even those things that don't look right, God gonna bring some good out of that. God say, I gotta let you go down here. Be seated while I work with this. Because I'm talking about love and I'm getting there. They fooled old Isaac. He laid the blessing on Jacob. But when Esau found out, he said, I'm going to kill him. He said, I'm going to mourn my daddy.
But while daddy is living, I may not touch him. But when daddy leave him, Jacob going with him. Because that's the second time that boy done got me. He got me in the wood with a bowl of soup. When I was down, my own brother took advantage of me. And I'm not going to forget what he did. And neither will I forgive him. I'm going to kill him. Rebecca said, I got to get him out of here. I got to send him to a faraway country that Esau won't be able to touch him. Now here will love come in. Now he lands in the house of Rebekah's brother, a man by the name of Laban. Oh, but see, you reap what you sow. See, Jacob had been tricking folk. Jacob had been the con artist, but now he was finna go back to school. He was finna have to deal with his uncle who was more low down than he was. And I come to preach to somebody, be careful. Who you do wrong, you're going to reap that. Be careful the seeds that you sow. You're going to reap that. Shout to somebody and tell them what you do to other folk. Tell them it has a way. It has a way. It has a way. I need you to preach. Tell them it has a way. It has a way of coming back to you. Oh, I'm trying to move on. That stuff you do in the dark is coming back on you. That stuff you did in secret is coming back on you. Those lies you told in the closet, they're coming back on you. I got folk that did things to me and God said, don't worry about her. I'm going to get her. She won't leave here without me getting her. So he gets down now and he sees a woman by the name of Rachel. The Bible said that Rachel was beautiful, listen to me, in form and appearance. Meaning that she didn't just have beauty on her face, but the girl had the courage to go with it. She was beautiful in form. And she was beautiful in appearance. And Jacob said to Laban, for this one, I love her. I love her, Laban. And I'll work 7 years just to get her. I ain't talking Laban. I'm committed. I'll work 7 years for her. Oh, see, I'm talking about commitment. I'm talking about loving something. Because when you love a thing, you don't mind working. You don't mind doing what you have to do. He said, I'll work 7 years if you'll give her to me. But see, he was dealing with a con artist. And Laban said, okay, deal. He worked 7 years, and the Bible says, I'm talking about love this morning. I'm talking about commitment this morning. The Bible said, at the end of 7 years, Jacob said about his 7 years of labor just for Rachel. He said about his commitment over 7 years that it felt like a few days to him. Elder Evans, I need you to go to Tifton, Georgia. Somebody called. They need prayer. And the Bible says, if any among you are sick, let them call for the elders. If he's faithful, if he's committed, he's going to go. And that hour or so ride, when he really committed, going to seem like 15 minutes to him. He ain't going to drive to Tifton complaining. He ain't going to drive to Anna talking about, why pastor picked me? Why did I have to be an elder? Why didn't he get somebody else? No, if he committed, he going. I said he's going. I'm teaching this thing right. At the end of 7 years, Jacob said, it was like a few days to me. That's how much I love her. That's how much I'm committed to the gal. But then Laban said, on the night they was married, I'm going to switch up and I'm going to give him Leah. Now, Leah was the oldest. But the Bible didn't describe her as beautiful. It described her as tender-eyed. Now, I looked up the word tender, which meant that when it came to Leah's eyes, she was weak-eyed. And you know, a person that's weak-eyed can't control their eye. One minute they head is toward you, but their eyes are over here and their eyes are over there because they weak-eyed. So he gave him Leah. Jacob woke up in the morning. Don't ask me how. He didn't know it wasn't Rachel. But the next morning he realized, Unc gave me Leah. He gave me the cockeyed one. He withheld the beautiful one. He dirty. I didn't even realize this was going to take this long, but I'm working with this commitment. Jacob went to Laban and said, "What is this that you have done? I worked 7 years for Rachel, and you done gave me Leah." He said, "It should not be so in my country that I should give you the younger and the old one have yet to marry." Jacob said, "I love Rachel so much that I'll work another 7 years." Ooh, I'm talking about commitment. I said, I'm talking about commitment. I said, I'm talking about being committed to that which you say you love. Most of us have got mad and walked off. We'd have cut Laban or did something to him and got up out of there. But the boy so loved Rachel. Then he said, "I'll put in another 7. See, because he was committed to her because he loved her. The problem in the church is that people say they love God, but they're not committed to him. Some of you are different when you're going through trial versus when things go your way. Your praise is different. Your offering is different. Your handshake is different. Even your hug is different when things go your way versus when you're suffering. And so Jesus, with a whole lot of folk following, looks at a crowd and basically says, "If you're going to continue following me, if you're going to be my disciple, your commitment has got to increase." I'm not going to be on your schedule. You're going to be on my schedule. You're not going to serve me when you want to serve me. You're going to serve me when I tell you to serve me. Oh, I'm coming. I'm coming. Because in the church, you have a lot of folk who are just up and down. Some of us don't serve in ministry at all. Because it does not fit in your life. It is a disruption to your schedule. You won't serve when you're tired. But you'll go to the mall tired. You will not come to church when you're battling in your body. But you will take your little self on vacation when you're battling. Will you give God your last if he asks you for it? How committed are you to God? How committed are you to Him? How committed are you really, sister, to God and to ministry? Is it true when you say God is number one in your life? Or are you lying when you say that? They're following Him. And He looks back. And He starts telling them what it's going to take to be His disciple. I don't know where your mind was before we made this journey. But before this journey ends, you're going to count the cost. See, I don't know where your mind was before you came to church. But you're going to leave church counting the cost. And it's my job to show some of us that we don't really love God the way we say we do. It's just talk. Long as it don't cost you nothing, you run your mouth. I lay down my life for God. Be careful. You can't even lay down a $100 bill. How you going to lay down your life? You can't even faithfully give a Bible study offering. How you going to put down your life? You struggle with tithes and offering. And when you have given the tithe, you think you've done something great. Look at it. Quiet. He going to put it to him. And see, if I do it right, it's going to be put to us. Verse 26, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, his own father. Jesus, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to hate your mama. You coming, brother? I know you're married. You know you're going to have to hate your wife. I don't want you putting up before me. You sure you want to do this? I don't want you making excuses and putting it on her. You sure you want to do this? Imagine if he were looking at folk and knew they had kids. Say, now y'all got children. You sure you want to do this? Because you're going to have to hate your children. Oh, and did I leave off the major one? Even your own life. Because most Christians, the average Christian, puts their life before what it is that God would have for them to do. They come first. I said, they come first. When asked to do something by God, are those who speak on His behalf, they got to pray about it. I said, they got to pray about it. I'm going to check my schedule. When we got to be there, Pastor? Saturday morning. Oh, Saturday morning, we take the kids to the park every Saturday morning. No, Saturday morning ain't going to work, Pastor. No, I do such and such every Saturday. Count the cost. It's tight in here. When the last time you gave up sleep for God? When the last time you did kingdom business and you were just wore out in your body, just fatigued, tired, physically, from doing kingdom business? Some of you, when it come to kingdom business, you good and rested. Because you don't count the cost. Oh, you going to do that? We're going to need you to get to church early. What we mean by early? What's early around here? Early around here, like 30 minutes before church. I'm gonna get back with you. See, based upon this, there's a lot of folk going to hell. Who in their mind, they was loving God. In their mind, they called what they was doing commitment. You know how some saints, so they'll show up to church and they'll be to the point to where they'll be like, you all just be glad I came. He up there saying all that. He better be glad I'm still here as a member. See, so it's not really about what God wants. Which says to me that if you wanted to leave, you just get up and leave. It wouldn't be nothing about what God told you to do or where he told you to be. Some of you don't pray about your giving, you just give. Does your giving shout commitment? Look at it. Now he proves in verse 33 that one thing hate means is to forsake. Look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. Y'all hang in here. I know it's kind of. It is what it is. I can't even apologize. It is what it is. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. For years, I worked a job that I didn't want to work. For years, I was underpaid. Just working a job because God said that job gonna allow you to do what I want you to do. It ain't about the job. It's about you being able to do what I want you to do. So you stay right there. While other jobs came willing to pay me more. But God said, no, you gonna be my disciple. Then you gonna work where I tell you to work. And you stay right here. Listen to me. This is what he told me. And I'll let you know when it's time for you to leave. But Lord, we need the extra money. It will really be a help right now. I'll tell you when to leave. And don't you go do nothing else on the side. Years went by. I said, well, maybe he done changed his mind and he didn't tell me. I'm pastoring. And I decided that I'm going to go get me a paper route. And I'm going to deliver papers all night long. I told the man, I said, put me in the Noonan area or the Whitesburg area. So when I get off late that night, I can come straight on church. I took the ride with the man. He was showing me where all to go. At the end of the route, he told me, he said, Leonard, what you think? I wasn't even thinking about the route. I was just thinking about the pay. I was just remembering the extra income it would have been. That's all I was thinking about. I said, look good to me. He said, well, call me in the morning. Let me know what you're going to do. Job is yours. Soon as the man got out the car, God said, if you take this job, you don't trust me. You're not committed to what I have for you. See, the nerve of some of you to think that God won't try your commitment. Who you think you are? God will ask you for something. Not just that you go 1 mile, but he'll ask you to go an extra mile. How committed are you? Take that money that you had left over. Go give it to so-and-so. Go bless her with it. 10% of it, God? No, give her all of that. Lord, but you know I had them folded this up in my billfold in the corner for a reason. We quiet in the house. In the old church, some of the old saints could testify to this. In the old church, saints knew about commitment. Come on, can I teach you right? I'm almost done because y'all ain't going to be able to handle much more anyway. A lot of folk in the modern church, you know one word they don't like? Commitment. Folks will call your church and ask you stupid stuff like, do y'all hold leaders accountable? And if they're leaders, yeah. Okay, thank you. Y'all believe in tithes and offerings? Sure do. Okay, thank you. See, this generation lacks commitment. And some of you, you good, I give it to you. You good as long as things good in your life. Knowing what he said. He said, y'all commitment. Going to have to go to a greater level. And notice what he tells them. Y'all look at it. Verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And he wasn't talking about no literal cross. He was saying to them, y'all going to have to suffer. If you're going to come after me, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to be mistreated. You're going to be persecuted by people you love. But when they persecuting you, I'm going to need you to keep doing everything I told you to do. And I don't want you to say nothing to them about what they're doing to you. Lord, why they treat me like this? Because that's your cross. Come on. There are certain people who are never going to love you. There were certain people, they never loved Jesus. They never showed him any kind of love. That was his cross. But some of us, we have the audacity to treat God the way others treat us. See, I don't care if somebody mistreats you in your own church. You better keep serving God and do what God tells you to do and let him straighten them. You better not get out of his will because of what they're doing to you. Look at somebody just shout, you're going to suffer. Sometimes people going to persecute you on the job that you work on, and you're going to try to do everything you can to leave that job, and God going to say no. No. I had a testimony years ago that throughout everything that had happened, that I had never shed a tear about nothing. And I just took it. And I lost that testimony a couple of years ago when something happened. And a person did the unthinkable. It's like they just looked me in my face and stabbed me dead in my heart and walked out of my office. And a tear hit my cheek. And I said, Lord, how much? How many betrayed? How many stabbings? And the Lord said to me, that is part of your journey. Don't you ask me why. You keep doing what I tell you to do. Don't you bend for them. If they hate you, you do exactly what I tell you to do. See, if you saying you love God, but you ain't prepared for suffering, you can't even be his disciple. Let's look at John 12 and then I'm going to close it there. I'm not done, but I'm going to close it after John 12. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at John 12 and 24. I know I'm over, but y'all bear with me. Bear with me. Bear with me. Bear with me. John 12, 24. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus said, when it comes to your life, don't work on saving it. Lose your life. Lose your life and you'll gain eternal life. Die to yourself and you'll reap a harvest. Some of us are still living for ourselves. That's where you have yet to step up and be the minister God told you to be. It's the reason you're not doing what he said do. It's too much of you. And you're all about saving your life. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, lose your life. This marks the 20-year anniversary that I fasted 7 days to know what church to go to, where I needed to be, where my family needed. 7 days I shut in and didn't come out of a room. Saving to go to work and back in that room in a closet. I'm closing. If you got to go, you're free to go. maybe one of the longest messages of the day. In the closet, 7 days, I go to work and I would literally come home and get in the closet. Praying. Where do I need to go, Lord? This move got to be right. I need your help. And at the end of 7 days, this is the 20-year anniversary of when God gave me that scripture. On a 7-day fast. He said to me, except the corn of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll spring up. It'll bear much fruit. You know what he was saying to me? I know you want to go here. I know you want to do this. But you need to die to what you want. You need to hate everything. You need to forsake everything and do what I want you to do. 20 years. 20 years. At the time, people were telling me, you need to do this. You need to start a ministry here. Hey, look, if you go over here, I'll follow you. All kind of things going on. He said, unless you die, unless you're willing to lose your life, I can't do in your life what I want to do. It's too much about you. Matthew 16. One more scripture. We done. We done after this. Matthew 16. Somebody need this. Somebody, you're going to be judged upon this message today. This marks a judgment on somebody's life today. What you do with this very message. Matthew 16, that's reading. I got to do it right, even if y'all get upset. I don't care how long it go. I got to stay here, do every single thing he tells me to do, say every single thing he tells me to say. Marriages don't work when people don't die. Ministry doesn't go forth when people don't die. Don't you know what God's saying to this church? I need a greater commitment. And it's going to start with you. And you're going to lay it on them leaders. And it's going to get throughout this congregation. I'll send you everything you need if you preach what I tell you to preach. You say what I tell you to say. Matthew 16. Some of you in danger. You die today, you talk about heaven, but you probably wouldn't make it. He is not playing. These false prophets in our day and time, they preaching lies to people. COVID-19. That ain't no health issue. That's a new world order issue. That ain't nothing about no normal sickness. You don't fight the Antichrist with normal things. I'm telling you not to do normal things, no. But recognize this thing is way bigger. This is new world order. This is a satanic agenda. And God is going to straighten his church. He's going to straighten his people. And he's getting us straight this morning. And it's starting with me. I got to come with a greater commitment. Matthew 16, 24. I got to bring a greater commitment. Why are you not committed? TV. Y'all be ashamed of yourself. Why are you not committed? A big house. Y'all be ashamed of yourself. Where your commitment at? It's in your job. more committed to your grown children that don't care nothing about God than you are God's business. You're not going to be his disciple without leaving, folks. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples. They already showing a commitment. They his disciples. They showing a certain amount of commitment. Or he wouldn't have said they were his disciples. Don't leave in a day and say, Pastor, act like we ain't showed no amount of commitment. You a liar. I know there are some folks in this church committed. I ain't no fool. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing if it wasn't. But that doesn't stop God from saying to us that he needs a greater commitment. That's the only thing I'm trying to show you. So don't leave it a day and get with your partner. See how he did? All we do. No, I'm acknowledging what you do. I'm acknowledging what I do. But he needs a greater commitment. Some of the stuff y'all putting before God, he letting you know right now. Based upon what you do, you better clearly understand that you ain't my disciple. You are not mine. You are your own. You got to stand before God for yourself. You ain't standing with your spouse. You ain't standing with your children. It's when the Bible say, let everyone work out their own soul salvation. Do so with fear and trembling. Why? Because you got to stand there. You got to answer. You ain't going to put it on nobody. You weren't faithful because so and so weren't faithful. This is personal. If Donna don't go, I gotta go. If my own mama don't go, I gotta go. I got a calling. If my own child don't want him, I got to go. I gotta go. I gotta answer for what he told me to do. Somebody give me Matthew 16:24. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? Why didn't you go? Why didn't you speak? Why didn't you serve? Why didn't you lay down your life? Who got Matthew 16:24? I'm closing. I need somebody to read it loud, minister. You got to read it loud now. Come on, read it. What else?
For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
You going what?
Find it.
You going what?
Find
it. You going what?
Find it.
But what are you losing your life for? For his sake. You better get out of your mind that you're doing something for me and just me. It'll be the depth of you if you can't see past me. You lay down your life, you lose your life for his sake. Leaders that don't pray daily for people they lead. kind of leader is you? Read verse 25 one more time. I'm done. Hold on. Say, whoever what?
Desires to save his life.
Gonna do what?
Lose it.
Whoever desires to do what?
Save his life.
Hold on. When it's all about you, in the end, you lose your soul. This is reading in one of them verses he asked. I ain't got time to find it. It's either in verse 26 or it's back over there in the latter part. He said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? See, every day the devil trying to buy your soul. Huh? Read verse 26. Somebody read it. Somebody different read it. I don't want nobody to think we playing games. Somebody, verse 26, read it. I'm close. Speak loud. All right, say that again. Stand up and read it. Stand up and read that.
For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world?
Hold on. If you gain the whole world, you live for yourself. You didn't lose your life. You went after what you wanted. You did what you wanted. You climbed the corporate ladder. You got the job. You got the money. You were living for yourself. And what the Bible say? If you watch it on Facebook, YouTube, this has been Pastor Leonard Cochran here from A Place of Refuge Church. And I'm reminding you that Jesus is a refuge. God bless you.
Thank you for watching today's live stream service with Pastor Leonard Z. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. We would love to hear from you. If you have been helped, strengthened, or encouraged by the word, let us know. Also, don't forget to connect with us on all of our major social media platforms to receive exclusive information and updates with all things Refuge Noonan.
A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. If you would like to visit us, our worship times are every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. on location and live at 10:45 a.m. We also have service every Wednesday at 7:15 p.m. via Facebook and YouTube Live. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.